W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. They've lifted the abortion pill restrictions for now. Supreme Court in a 7-2 decision keeps access to the abortion drug legal in states where it already is. As those court challenges continue, Justice Department and the pillmakers winning their case to stop a Texas federal judge's new restrictions. ABC's Rachel Scott.
More legal challenges is exactly what is expected here. While abortion rights advocates are certainly going to be breathing a sigh of relief, they know that this will continue to play out in the courts. And quite frankly, the landscape around abortion rights has already changed significantly since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade nearly a year ago.
This case is the first ever challenging an FDA drug approval. Republican spending cuts proposal they hope to tie to raising the debt ceiling includes scrapping COVID funding, student loan forgiveness, and green tax credits. White House Press Secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre.
We do not want to negotiate on this. We want to make sure that they do what they did the last three times.
This is ABC News. Montana's House Speaker is refusing to let a transgender lawmaker speak on the floor until she apologizes for what she said to fellow lawmakers.
Democrat Zoe Zephyrs, the first openly transgender woman in the Montana legislature, and had this to say to Republicans who supported a bill that would restrict gender-affirming health care to minors.
I hope the next time there's an invocation, when you bow your heads in prayer, you see the blood on your hands.
After which Republican Majority Leader Sue Vinton called for decorum.
We will not be shamed by anyone in this chamber. We are better than that.
Now the Republican House Speaker refusing to acknowledge Zephyr on the floor, the Montana Freedom Caucus demanding her censure, but Zephyr says she won't apologize. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Former Peruvian President Alejandro Toledo surrendered to federal agents in California. That's ahead of his extradition to Peru. Toledo is one of four ex-presidents implicated in a massive bribery scandal. No date yet for the Peruvian authorities to bring him back to Peru. Andy Field, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Thousands of daycare centers are in jeopardy in Wisconsin, and families may soon see their child care costs go up. The Wisconsin Department of Children and Families says funding for the Child Care Count Stabilization Payment Program is expected to be cut in half soon. Officials say there's much less federal pandemic relief money to work with. The program keeps 3,000 daycare centers in Wisconsin in business. People in southeast Wisconsin are busy cleaning up after thunderstorms rolled through late yesterday. There was flooding and downed trees and power lines. We Energy says about 1,700 homes and businesses lost power at some point. Bayview may have gotten the worst of it, with hail, flooding, and a tree came down on someone's car. In sports, the Brewers host Boston tonight. Freddy Peralta starts for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hello there. My name is Seychelle, and what makes the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich original to me is the punch of flavors that's unlike any other. You get the crispy tenderness of the chicken and that hint of sourness from the pickles. Ta-da!
Hey, I'm Juan, and what makes the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich original to me is you know you're going to get chicken that's crispy, golden, and juicy. This is the gold standard of chicken sandwiches.
Order the original Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Real customers paid for their testimonials.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't going to find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't going to find that in Minnesota, standing room only. Because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come take it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I guess $787 million settlement made Fox News, I don't know, look inward a little bit. Now, I understand they're still facing another really big lawsuit from Smartmatic and also some shareholders. Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of that. But today I had a little rearranging, if you will. A couple of their hosts were shown the door. Dan Bongino, someone who blocked me on Twitter, Maria Bartiromo and Janine Pirro, all being shown the door. And I got to wonder how much they're going to try and lay at their feet. But here to share some thoughts on the Fox settlement, maybe where things go, and what the future over at the F Channel is going to be. I've asked Sherry Jacobus to come talk with us. She's a political columnist and former RNC spokeswoman. Sherry, thanks for taking time for us.
No, thanks for having me here.
So what do you think of the bloodletting over at the F Channel?
Well, I know that Dan Bongino is gone, and he blocked me too. He blocks everybody. He's a bit of a snowflake, very, very thin-skinned. But Maria Bartiromo and Janine Pirro, Judge Janine Winebox Pirro, as we call her, it's rumored they are on their way out, but they don't believe they were actually let go today.
Oh, I was excited. Maybe too much so.
Yeah. but it seems that their heads are rolling. You know, they have to make a show of this and get rid of, you know, the worst offenders or some of them. They're never going to get rid of Tucker or Hannity. So, you know, the women they think are, you know, that they can get rid of them and they won't care about that. I mean, after all, it is Fox and they are very different to women. But, you know, I don't think that the settlement is the huge win that people think it is. Rupert Murdoch doesn't have to, they don't have to do a public apology on Fox. Fox viewers will never know anything about this. I guarantee you. I have family members who, there's so much of the news they miss because they've been told to watch only Fox and they don't know what they don't know. So they don't even know that there's a Dominion lawsuit. They have no idea what any of this means. You know, Lou Dobbs disappears. They don't know why. They don't ask. And that was, you know, a couple of years ago. So Fox really kind of won, in my view. This is a drop in the bucket in terms of money. The Murdoch empire can certainly afford all of this, but that was the right of Dominion to do that. It was a civil suit, and you know they collected their damages, I guess, their settlement. But America has been hurt so drastically by this, and we have not been made whole. So that's still a problem, and we still have a lot of work to do. But I think they skated on this because it's not that much money for them, and they don't have to tell their viewers that they were lied to.
Yeah, and that's the part that got me. And I said from the beginning, you know, if it were me, and I'd like to be high-minded when it's not my $787 million that I could put in my pocket, I would have wanted to take this to the end because it was just one bad story for the F Channel after the next. And every time you turned around, there was more things that were coming out. But like you said, the people who needed to see it were never going to see it.
Right. And, you know, I did a project a few years ago called America Reads the Mueller Report, raised money, and we had a GoFundMe, and we produced it. I produced it out in Hollywood, mostly with volunteers. I got celebrity friends, most of y'all know them, from Twitter that are patriots and activists. And we did direct readings from the Mueller Report. And when we bought the TV time, we purposely were trying to reach Fox News viewers who are not part of the cult, but they simply don't access accurate information because they watch Fox. So we got them like on their local TV and like an early morning farm report. It was a half hour program and no political commentary, you know, and just so they know the truth. And we do it before the Wendy Williams show or local news programming and, you know, sports and things like that. So you only need a few people, you know, close electors or won or lost in the margins. And that's really what it takes. You have to target these Fox viewers with the truth another way. And I wish that we had some deep pocketed person or entity of some sort that would do exactly that. To just basically say, you know, Fox lied. Here's what happened. They lied to you. And Fox News won't let you run the ad, but you can do it their places and you can do it with radio because these people have to be reached. We can't just throw our hands up in the air and go, well, if Fox doesn't tell them the truth, they're never going to know it. There are ways to do this. It takes some elbow grease.
Yeah, I remember
some money.
When the information first started coming out about how bad, the Fox hosts were, how bad their views of their listenership and their viewers were. I talked about the movie The Face in the Crowd. I'm sure you remember the old Andy Griffith movie. And I'm going, is this the Lonesome Roads moment where finally they leave the mic potted up to hear just how bad? And the reality is, no. I've talked to some of my Fox viewing friends, and they don't believe a word of it. Even when you show them, this is it. They don't believe any of it.
I mean, Lordy, there are tapes, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. And a lot of that's just because this has proliferated now for so many years. The Trump problem was not taken care of in the beginning because all of the media were scoring ratings and eyeballs, and they wanted to keep that gravy train going. And then Fox kind of was forced to go all in with that. The others backed off, but there's a lot of guilt to be spread around why we're in this situation. I mean, Trump lost the presidency, but we are still very much in the era of Trump, and now it's the era of Trump and Fox together.
Yeah.
And Fox was always had a right wing bias, and there was actually a place for that. But lying and bias are two different things. And you notice on Twitter when some of the MAGA people and pro Fox people are out there trying to defend them, they say, Fox lied. And they'll say, oh, but CNN is biased or MSNBC is biased, as if the two things are the same. And they are not. They simply are not the same. A lie is a lie, no matter who it's coming from. And it's not even remotely the same as bias. But there's a troll or bot farm, or that is a strategy that they are using on the right to try and conflate the two so that people can say, oh, everybody does it. Well, no. We're talking lies.
They're all corrupt. They all do it. Right. It's kind of both sidesism, this justification that we've seen, especially on Twitter, since you brought Twitter up. Thoughts on the mark of Musk? Evidently, everybody who had blue check marks like we had, those have all disappeared, except for a few celebrities that evidently Elon's digging into his own pocket to pay.
Well, and he cannot do that. I expect there will be some lawsuits because, like with LeBron, that is insinuating support for the product and for the app and for the business decisions without the permission of the celebrity. It's basically using their likeness and their voice to convey support for something that they don't support. And so they can sue, and I hope they do. I think they need to. But what's interesting to me is seeing all the people who have their blue check marks now. It's like, oh my God, you paid for it. I like you though. We're friends. And I feel a little bit weird about that because I feel like it's a bit of a betrayal.
I unfollowed every person who has a blue check mark. Sorry.
Yeah, and some are trying to defend it saying, well, but it has the edit function. It's like, oh, just delete your tweet and redo it. Or,
exactly.
Like we've all been doing all along. Don't give us that. And so I wonder how many people who think they're a big name who bought their check mark and they're thinking maybe everybody will think that Elon paid for mine too, that I'm just one of those big names and celebrities.
But nobody's thinking that.
Donald Trump lost his blue check mark, but if he ever jumped back on Twitter, I bet he'd get it back.
Yeah, nobody's thinking that.
But Elon Musk is ridiculous, and this was a bad business move. I think he's trying to kill Twitter. There's some nefarious plan with this. I think that's become obvious. But these blue check marks, some of them were not deserved, and some people who deserve them didn't get them. But overall, it's a pretty good system because, I mean, Rick, you're creating free content for Elon Musk, for Twitter. We all are the blue check marks, and we get big following, but we are the product. We are the ones that the advertisers are coming to Twitter for. And I don't think that's an overstatement. So I don't understand why Musk would do this, because now it's harder for people to follow us. You look at your mentions at the verified one at the top, and now it's just the people who paid for it. So you can get notifications for people, but I don't want to get notifications for hundreds of people that I like to look at for, read. So it's going to take a while to calibrate this. I'm not sure they can fix it. I think he's got to bring back the blue check mark for the people that helped make Twitter great. And those are the people that created the free content. They weren't paying the blue check marks to create the content. They make their money from us. So I don't get it.
I'm going to be doing a segment every once in a while of, you know, of really, you know, really important things coming out of people with blue check marks. You know, the folks with six followers who are putting out the best content, as you've pointed out. I think we're going to start doing the top 10 crazy blue check mark comments here very soon. But again, this is, in my view, that check mark meant something. If you were looking at a source, it was one of the filter points that I used and going, you know, this is somebody that I trust or not trust. That's all right. Gone now. And I look at, you know, yeah. I talked earlier about, you know, New York City. They said, this is our official account. And then someone with a name close to said, no, we're the official account. And this is going to be an interesting period. But I believe that this was always about destroying Twitter, which had a left bias. And it's the one entity that kind of had that left bias. I think it had a lot to do with just destroying that.
I don't think Twitter itself had a left bias. I just think that, it's different than Facebook. Everybody I know from the hometown and, you know, from high school and everything, they're all on Facebook. The people I know from later, from my professional years, are on Twitter. It's just a different crowd. But I do think that, I do think that you have more left-leaning and maybe more intellectual people. And I'm not trying to sound elitist at all, but just people who spend more time gathering information and news and that sort of thing might be, I want to say that people who are left of center maybe are better informed is what I'm saying, but they have to work at it. And so they might be drawn to Twitter for that. Now, remember when Twitter doubled their character numbers?
Yeah.
I kind of liked that. At first that was hard to get used to, but then I kind of liked it. Then they finally got rid of impersonators because I had a real problem with that. Well, Elon Musk has now brought all of that back. There's nothing to stop impersonators from buying. Well, I don't know if they can buy you. You have to get their phone number or whatever, but you know, they can impersonate it. Now, on my Twitter account, before all of this, I literally took a picture of my blue check mark with the drop down that says, this was a verified Twitter. This was a, what were they calling this? A legacy.
Legacy.
So you see on my banner is a picture of that says I'm legacy. So even though I no longer have a blue check mark, the one that I had was not purchased.
Yeah, we've got one as well, and I will never purchase one. So that's simple. You listen to the Rick Smith Show with Sherry Jacobus, political columnist, former RNC spokeswoman. I want to get your thoughts on this because, you know, as we are siloing off and I see Twitter. What Musk is doing is trying to create more division, even more so with this. I've been watching a lot of these shootings that have been going on lately. And one of the things that keeps coming back to my head is that we're creating this environment of fear. I look at the F channel, I look at right-wing talk radio, and it's all about, you know, our cities are burning, there are MS-13s around every corner, there are criminals everywhere. And I look at, you know, someone getting shot for pulling in the wrong driveway, a kid right. knocking on a door, a kid rolling a basketball or a soccer ball in another yard. It's gotten us to the point to where, you know, we've made it easier for people to get guns. We've passed laws that make it easier for them to use. And we've scared the hell out of people by getting them to think that, you know, there's crime everywhere when the reality is we're half the crime rate we were in the 70s. Do you have any hope for the future in the world that we're in? Because all I'm seeing is chaos and anger and fear being spewed and nobody allowed to talk to each other anymore.
Well, and the NRA at the conventions and everything, they're getting even bolder with the propaganda. You have to destroy the NRA. You have to beat them. You have to basically have a very focused campaign, much like we've done in the past, but just more of it and better to really demonize those people who are a little bit too pro-gun in Congress. It's not cute. It's not funny. It's deadly because you are scaring these people on Fox and talk radio. They gin them up and these old guys with their guns, and they make them particularly afraid of people of color. You know, those are the ones that they're going to shoot. And then you've got these sort of gamer types, incel, white supremacist MAGA types, who are openly talking about this sort of thing. And they, you know, the leaker, what's his name? The 21-year-old who leaked our, who had our you know, our nation's secrets and steal the documents. You know, he's with the group where they openly advocate this stuff. They're anti-black. They love their guns. Guns, God, and, you know, these white supremacists. And it's not this fringe stuff that it was just a few short years ago. This is becoming more and more mainstream, and it's growing. And it's not just these little isolated incidents anymore. You know, you hear this type of language with people. I mean, I'm a former Republican, but I was never that kind of Republican. I left the party the day after they nominated Trump. And I paid a huge price for that, for fighting Trump. But I was an RNC spokesperson. I worked on Capitol Hill for Republicans, you know, moderate ones. And I was on TV a few thousand times, and I spent a lot of time at Fox. But I've never seen anything like this. So people to say, oh, well, maybe the seeds were planted in right-wing radio. I think that is where it started. But even Ronald Reagan wasn't this, and I know Democrats like to you know, slam him and say the party's always been this. But I think it's really important, particularly if Democrats want to co-op former Republicans, independents, people who are simply not MAGA, and it you make them, you know, Biden Republicans or whatever. You know, Reagan did this. He co-opted so-called Reagan Democrats and kept them for the party. For a generation. And I think there's a real opportunity for Democrats to do that now in this era of Trump, but not if you're going to constantly slam people who used to be Republicans and say, but the party has always been that way, and or Fox has always been that way. It wasn't.
No, there's always been a wing.
A lot of things.
Right. There's always been that wing, that wink and nod to that part of the party. You know, they've always had a little bit of that. I've never said it's been the whole party, but now that little bit has really taken over.
Yeah. It's a cancer. It's completely taken over. And I remember, you know, I worked in leadership, and I worked on one of the committees after the Republicans took over in the mid-90s. So I was in Newt's office, you know, for meetings several times a week. And I'd been in meetings with Ginny Thomas because she was working for Dick Armey, and he was the Republican leader. And you know, we became friendly a little bit, but she was so beleaguered and, oh, the press, they're always after me, and kind of felt bad for her and everything. But I didn't understand two things. I didn't understand why we now needed a representative of these outside right-wing groups at the table at our senior leadership meetings, staff meetings. It just didn't seem appropriate because it was so blatantly political and plus a little weird. We always knew they were off to the side. Like when I first started out in politics, it's like just it's fringe and then a little bit too much. But I didn't understand why she was putting herself out there working. I mean, she was a Supreme Court justice's wife, and she's working as a staffer in the new Republican leadership, the new Republican majority, you know, contract with America and all that. I mean, I felt like she was rubbing their noses in it and then kind of complaining, oh, woe is me. They're always after me. But I just why are you doing this? You know? So, you know, the whole thing, you know, it just was a little crazy. But man, I used to work for Bob Michael. You know that name, right?
Yeah, wow.
He's about, oh my God, he'd be a left-wing Democrat right now for what
that's how far the goalposts have gone.
My father always said, we're Bob Michael, you know, Howard Baker Republicans, and that would be very, very rhino, but it was sensible, you know? So it was natural for me to gravitate towards John McCain when he ran for president. I mean, in 1999, I was pulled into the late night burgers and beer meetings, you know, and that crappy little headquarters they had in Old Town Alexandria. That building's torn down now, but you know, that was such a great scrappy campaign. You're not going to see that with this party. And here's another thing. It started out, it was Trump, because the establishment Republican Party was not with Trump. Once he got the nomination, because media basically gave it to him and Putin, they all jumped on board, but they weren't, the establishment party in DC was not with him. He was forced on them in a way. But so much time has gone by because, you know, Merrick Garland dragged his feet and Mueller didn't do his job. And Democrats decided not to impeach Trump that very first time over the Mueller report. And they should have. And I think he was emboldened after that. He knew where the line was drawn because they did it. They caved so early. So over the course of a couple of election cycles, we now have a lot of true nutsoid MAGA Trump Republicans in elected positions that weren't there before. Before, they all had to kind of hold their nose and follow Trump. It's like now these people are in office.
And now they're worse, and it's filtering down. The problem is it's not just the handful, the Kook caucus or the Q caucus. It's now filtering down to local school boards, and it's getting worse. And the concern is that the Republican Party is never what it was and could never be salvaged. So I guess last question, but this now comes up. Is there any hope?
For the party?
Yeah. Is there any hope for the Republican Party?
God,
is there
no? I wrote a few things about this, and or someone did a feature interview with me, and I said no, the party is dead, and people hanging on to it. I don't know why. I mean, you know, my old friend Larry Hogan seemed like he had one foot out the door, but he's still a Republican. Michael Steele is still Republican. He told me just the other day we were emailing. He says, I refuse. He goes, I paid my dues. I'm not going to leave because, you know, he was the party leader. He doesn't want to give them the satisfaction. But at some point, I mean, he's obviously really not a Republican anymore, but he hasn't officially left the party. But I don't see why some people are still hanging in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't obvious. Know what a Republican it's is just, anymore. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I used
now,
to know.
If they're gonna, well, if they could be some kind of a spoiler in a primary, you know, I was hoping that Liz Cheney would run. I mean, I didn't want her elected, but I wanted her to run as a Republican and have Larry Hogan as a running mate, you know, announce a running mate real early and run just so they can maybe get on a debate stage and just make sure that was a way to reach Republican voters to tell them about the Trump crimes and serve as some kind of a spoiler just to get the information out there. Not run as an independent, but actually in the Republican primary, for the sole purpose of making sure that that Trump didn't get a free ride, and you know, I think DeSantis is afraid to lay a filled glove on him.
Yeah, no, but my mind is going. You know, the only hope we have as a country is a Cheney. Oh, how things have changed.
If that's what it takes to get Republican voters to know the truth about Trump. But I think if the Republicans don't want to save their party, if they still want to stay in there. I left and I didn't think Trump was going to win. I mean, this was after the nomination. And I thought
you're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.